Good morning, congregation, and you boys. Blessing to sing together and to gather together again in the name of our Lord Jesus, and to instruct ourselves from His Word. It's a blessing to see your faces again. And looking forward to this lesson, this psalm we're going to read this morning. I think before we begin, we'll have a prayer. Let's remember Brother David and the brethren in Colombia. David has traveled there on Thursday and traveled around in the country and should be back in Barranquilla this morning, as of last night, as the plan went. Brother Eloy and Sister Guillermina, his mother, you know them. They traveled as well to Colombia to be there while David was there. And last I knew, they were in Panama, headed for the last leg of their journey last night at 9:30, headed for Barranquilla, where Brother Ishmael, Sister Karen, and Ishmael's mother, Marta, and Ishmael's sister, Paula, and also the other young sister, Rosa, is there. And hopefully they'll have a good time there. Maybe we'll just have our prayer. I think Kevin might have something more to share, his discussion with Brother David a little later, if we can remember to give that opportunity. So we want to pray for them this morning. And is there someone else we ought to remember in prayer this morning?
Lloyd and Jessica.
Okay, let's keep praying for them, Lloyd and Jessica. And Lord, give Floyd wisdom and all. Anybody else you think of, just, not necessarily routinely, but maybe routinely, I mean, not just the common names, but someone who especially could use prayer.
The people in Mexico.
Yeah, the people in Mexico, that's right.
Mm-hmm. Adam Williams.
Adam Williams, yes, let's pray for him. I'm glad you mentioned him. Yeah. Yeah, let's pray for them too this morning, people in Guatemala. All right, let's bow our heads. Our dear God, thank you again this morning for your manifold mercies. Lord, we're not worthy to even be called your children, but just thank you for taking us as your own. Even when we impudently slapped you in the face by turning astray and going our own way, when you so graciously had provided us everything, Lord, we just thank you for your forgiveness and goodness, and our desire is this morning to be like you and to learn to be like your dear Son, the Lord Jesus, who you sent to show us just how you are. Lord, we just praise you for that. Bless each of these boys, dear God, and pray for the congregation this morning. Bless the brethren in Colombia, Brother David there, and the Garcia family and the Nova family, and the rest there. Lord, we pray for the people in Mexico, Floyd and Jessica. Think of Adam Williams this morning. Lord, just help him to draw near to you. Seek you, we pray for. People in Guatemala, bless Edgar. Help him in his health. Bless him and his wife as they seek to be like you in the home. Lord, we praise you for protecting us this week and your goodness. We just thank you for the brethren. In In the worthy name of our Lord Jesus, amen. Okay, I think our psalm today is 73, am I right? I see your nod. Good. 73 in the Septuagint is what it is, and 74 in other versions. Okay. Are you ready? Clayton, where's your Bible? I guess you're going to just share. Yeah. Don't really have a Septuagint, do you? Okay. Can you share Sylvester with them? See, we got a couple Bibles missing. Good. Oh God, why have you rejected us to the end?
We need your phone. Connie got off. We need to get her back. Okay. Sorry.
No problem. He says, why have you rejected us to the end? Why has your anger raged against the sheep of your pasture? Remember your congregation you acquired from the beginning, that you redeemed the rod of your inheritance. This Mount Zion, where you encamped. Lift up your hands against their arrogance to the end, against everything the enemy prostituted in your holy places. Those who hate you boasted in the midst of your feast. They set up their signs, yes, signs, and they did not know. As into an entrance hall, as in a thicket of trees, they cut down its doors with axes. With battle axes and hammers, they broke it down. They burned down your sanctuary. They defiled the tabernacle of your name to the ground. Their kindred said in their heart together, come, let us abolish all the feasts of God from the earth. Think about that. What's this? What kind of a scene? What kind of a scene goes through your mind? What is this? What's going on? Is this God talking to man or man talking to God, first of all? Man talking to God, yes. Somebody's praying. It's a psalm of Asaph. Psalm for Asaph. Could have even been by David still. Asaph was one of his singers, I believe. But look at this. No, probably not. Probably not for Asaph, because this seems to be after the time of David. This has to be after the time of David, I would think. But what? Okay, this person is praying to God and telling him these things, reminding God of these things. And what do you see? What's going on here? His enemies are giving him a hard time. What else is going on? What has happened?
God's laws are being they're not being carried out.
Right. What else is going on? What do you remember from the people of God, the history of the children of Israel and Judah, and what took place with them? Temples got burned down. Their temple got burned down. Their city was set on fire. Why was that?
Because
they had been wicked. Had they been reminded?
Yeah.
Right. The prophets had reminded them. Look at the next verse. We do not see our signs. There is no longer any prophet. And he will no longer know us. How long, O God, will the enemy reproach? Will the adversary provoke your name to the end? Just seems like it cannot be. When God disciplines his people and it seems like his presence is gone, or he's putting them through severe discipline, putting them through a time of his wrath, and Oh, and trying to awaken them. What else happened here? What did they do? We already mentioned burning down a temple, cutting down a temple. What did they break it down with?
Battle axes.
What else does it call the temple here?
Tabernacle.
Back in verse 2, what did it call the church?
Or the
congregation. And back before that, even near the beginning, what are God's people likened to?
Sheep of the pasture.
Sheep of the pasture. Whoever's praying still knows these are your sheep. Okay. It was, what else took place here? What else did the enemy do in the holy place? That word you might not understand. Defiled, yes. And it uses another word, prostituted, which means just wickedness right in the midst of a holy and pure place. Verse 8, what were they going to do with the feasts of God?
Abolish
them. That means get rid of them, that there's nothing heard about them anymore. The feasts of God. Verse 11, why do you turn away your hand, your right hand from the midst of your breast to the end? He says, this is your breast. God, this is the thing close to your heart. How can you turn your right hand away from it? What else does the psalm call the people of God? Remember at another place? God's people. Just think. It's not in this chapter. But here it says, your breast. What else? Really close to God that he calls his people. Something very close, a member of the body.
Bosom.
Huh? Bosom, yes, that's the same thing as breast. What else? Very close to God. What's something that you try to protect that's very, very important in your body?
Your heart.
Heart, yes, very good. Something that's just, if you don't have it, you could not.
Brain,
that's getting very close now. God
says, apple of your eye.
Apple of your eye, yes. Keep me as the apple of your eye. Yeah. It just seems like Jesus said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And it seems dark. But when God means it for good, when it is his wise plan to bring us closer to himself. In Jesus' case, Jesus was already close to his Father. He did it as a sacrifice of sweet smell to God as he conquered Satan. But this discipline feels that way, like God is gone or something. And that's when our faith needs to shine. You still know that we're your sheep, God. We might feel like we don't have a shepherd, but you're there somewhere. 12, verse 12. But God is our King before the ages. He worked salvation in the midst of the earth. You strengthened the sea by your power. You crushed the heads of dragons upon the water. You shattered the heads of the dragon. You gave him as food for the Ethiopian peoples. This psalm is about the church in the world. You can just think of things like this. The church in the world. What has God done for his church, his sheep, his people? Who did he crush?
The head of the dragon.
Head of the dragon. And he will crush him completely one day. Not just bruise, but crush. Verse 14. You shattered the heads of the dragon. You gave him as food for the Ethiopian peoples. 15. You broke apart fountains and torrents. You dried up the rivers of Etham. The day is yours and the night is yours. You created the light and the sun. You made all the boundaries of the earth, summer and winter. You formed these things. Remember this. The enemy insulted the Lord, and a foolish people provoked your name. May you not deliver to wild beasts the soul who gives thanks to you. Here's his prayer now. Here's what he's getting to. Back to the first thought. We're your sheep. Now, God, our prayer just is, we trust you. Our prayer is this. In the midst of this discipline, in the midst of darkness, in the midst of trial and temptation in this world, may you not deliver to wild beasts the soul who gives thanks to you. May you not forget the souls of your poor to the end. Look upon your covenant, for the dark places of the earth are filled with the houses of lawlessness. Let not the humbled and the disgraced be turned away. The poor and needy shall praise your name. Do you remember any poor and needy people in the Bible that praised God's name? Do you have one, Jaden?
Job did.
Job did, yes. He was poor and needy. And he was sitting in those ashes. But he was praised God's name. Yes? Yes.
And the woman that Elisha went to when there was a famine, that widow.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
She praised the Lord when they had blessing from God in by the hand of the prophet. Anyone else? They're too good. Those are good examples. Very good. Sometimes we have to be reminded of Job. You know, when it's going bad. And we just think that it'll probably always be this way. Probably always be this way. Apostle James said, "You have heard of the patience of Job." We need to remember the patience of Job and how he could praise God when he was full of sores sitting in the ashes and scraping himself. And he had lost everything, his children and all. Verse 22, "Arise, O God, judge your cause." Arise. Have you ever heard of do you have any remembrances? Do you remember any time in the Bible when God arose and judged his cause? When he arose and defended his people or took care of somebody? Yeah, any thoughts? Any? When did God?
Elijah and his helper, and the people were coming to try to kill them. Chariots
of fire were around. God arises, yes.
When he let Gideon go to the war with only 300 men.
Yes. Midianites, just like grasshoppers. They were so many. They were just filling the country. And 300 men and Gideon. And God arose. It was just, for a while it's dark. And it's testing, it's gloomy, and then God arises. Any other times you remember? These throughout your life, you'll have to remember these things. They'll have to come to mind at times if you want to be encouraged in the Lord. Well, I'll ask you this. Go ahead. Mm-hmm. And God kept them sleeping, you might say. kept David sane. Yes. Well, I'll ask you this. What? Maybe you had one or two. Did you? Sylvester. I'll ask you all this. Is there anything in the future you're looking forward to that that arise? Arise, O God. Judge your cause. How about
the judgment,
hmm?
The judgment day?
The judgment day, yes. When time shall be no more. And the Lord separates the sheep from the goats forever and ever. And He arises. And He judges His cause. One more thing from the past. Remember the darkest day in the world? The darkest day there ever was in the world. Remember that? Remember? What that it was, and
Jesus helped the children of Israel cross the river.
Yeah, that was that Red Sea. I had thought of that before. Yes, yep, Red Sea.
Jesus died.
Jesus was dead, and then what? Literally, what happened? Just what it says here in 22. What did He do? What did He do? He wasn't there anymore. That's right. What did He do?
He arose.
He arose. That's just what it's talking about. The resurrection. Arise, O God. Judge your cause. The grave could not keep His hold on Him. And He arose. Praise God. The arrogance of those who hate you rises against you continually. The verse, the phrase before that. Do not forget the voice of your suppliants. We need to be suppliants. Keep remembering where we are and what we look forward to and who we owe everything to. And be a suppliant. What does that mean? You want to guess? Maybe you know. Be a suppliant.
These people follow Him?
Yes, yes, yes. I'll give you a hint. The man who wrote this was a suppliant. We can just tell. He was a suppliant. What's a suppliant? Who is a suppliant? Someone who praise Him and pray. Jesus said, shall not God avenge His own elect, who cry unto Him day and night, who are suppliants. Keep praying. Well, I'm glad for your help this morning, boys. That was good. Thankful for that. Okay. We're going to have the older boys now take their turn. Give a thought out of this psalm. And you boys can go back.
Psalm verse 19, I read, may you not deliver to wild beasts the soul who gives thanks to you. May you not forget the souls of your poor to the end. So he would keep safe the people that would follow him and not forget the poor people.
And verse 6 and 7, it talks about where they came in and defiled the Lord's temple there, and I thought about where the Babylonians came and took over the Israelites and took everything and burned the temple and defiled the tabernacle.
I had kind of the same thing Philip had, where it talked about they defiled the temple and whatnot, but I actually thought of when they was turned the Jesus, when he was here, he turned the temple into a place where they was selling animals and turned it into a den of thieves, I think is what he said. And then in verse 21, let not the humble and the disgraced be turned away. The poor and needy shall praise your name. Remembering the poor there and the needy.
Verse 12 kind of stood out to me and said, God's been our king even before the ages. Just thought that was kind of neat.
Yeah, in verse 12 where it said, for God is my God of age even, and it worketh salvation in the midst of the earth. I just thought that was kind of neat.
Verse 11 stuck out to me. Why do you turn away your hand, your right hand, from the midst of the breast unto the end? That's what the people are doing to God, but they were asking God why he did it to them.
I thought about how it's interesting how why has your anger raged against the sheep of your pasture? And then, arise, God, O God, judge your cause, and remember the insults against you by the foolish man all the day long. Just how, in the beginning, it sounds like the writer is talking about God's anger towards the sheep of his pasture, but then it kind of changes to the enemy of God, insulting God himself, and how God is talking about God judging his own cause. And then verse 'Remember this, the enemy insulted the Lord, and a foolish people provoked your name.' That verse stood out to me.
In 6 and 7, as in a thicket of trees, they cut down its doors with axes. With battle axes and hammers, they broke it down. They burned your sanctuary. They defiled the tabernacle of your name to the ground. And then in 12, but God is our king before the ages. He worked salvation in the midst of the earth. He strengthened the sea. You strengthened the sea by your power. You crushed the heads of the dragon upon the water. You shattered the heads of the dragon and the kind of like the enemy that God crushed.
I was thinking about the part where it tells about what God did, like it kind of, and so he was probably thinking, you can do all this, so surely you can get us out of this.
I read verse 19, deliver not the soul of thy turtle dove unto the multitude of thy wicked, forget not the congregation of the poor. That's just one of the verses that stuck out to me, that he won't forget the poor.